and see if they like us and things like that. So please make that an item of prayer. Always pray for the church, for the others in the church. Pray for souls to be saved. Do pray about our family and friends campaign. I'll have a little more to say about that as we get a few more names. Right now we don't have, I just have three names. But pray about those three people. God knows who they are. Danny Briggs will have surgery sometime this week. It's not scheduled yet, but it will be this week on his hand. Alan Udaly is sick. Wayne and Brenda are both sick. Mom is sick. It just kind of, again, it's that time of year when these things happen. So just pray for all those in the church who are sick. Continue to pray for Joyce Pratt and Verlin's family. I talked to Joyce, and she seems to be doing well. She asked me to tell all of you that she appreciated all of your, those of you who have contacted her, and all of your prayers. I would encourage you, she is at the house alone right now. None of her family has been able to come and stay with her. If some of you wanted to take by a little bit of food or something like that maybe and just visit with her a few minutes, I know she would appreciate that. But do pray for Joyce and Verlin's family. Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please? All right, open your Bibles to 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. We are, I wondered about what book to start on, and I thought since we just finished Revelation, which was written by John, maybe we could look at 1 John, because there's going to be quite a bit of difference in those two books. So some of this, the things that I tell you about John will be a little bit of a review if you remember it, but it's been almost a year ago that we started Revelation. But 1 John obviously was written by the Apostle John. He was one of the sons of Zebedee. James and John were the sons of Zebedee. Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder. If you remember in Mark, I think it was Mark chapter 3, Jesus had gone to a village of Samaria, and I think the Bible says something like that his face was toward Jerusalem, or anyway, he was making his way to Jerusalem, and so that the people of that village didn't want him to come, didn't want him to stay. And so James and John said, well, let's call down fire from heaven and destroy them. And so Jesus called them the sons of thunder. John was one of the inner circle, one of Jesus' inner circle, along with Peter and his brother James. He was called later John the Beloved, and in the book of Gospel of John, he identifies himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He doesn't use his name; he just calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. You know from our study of Revelation, you know that John was the last surviving apostle, the last of the 12 original apostles to survive. He was the last person to walk the face of the earth, the last apostle to walk the face of the earth who was an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be important in this letter that he writes to these churches. He wasn't martyred for the faith, but he was exiled, you know, to the island of Patmos, prison island there. And, of course, it's from the island of Patmos that he wrote Revelation. He also wrote the book of the Gospel of John and then 2nd and 3rd John. This letter was written from Ephesus. It seems like John was sort of based out of Ephesus, at least until he was exiled to Patmos. It was sent to the churches in Asia Minor. And at the time that it was written, the church in general, and these churches in Asia Minor in particular, were facing some false teachers. You could say that about every book written, every letter written to a church in the New Testament. They were facing false teachers, because they all were. But in particular, at this time, there was a particular teaching called Gnosticism that was gaining quite a foothold, even in the church to some extent. The name for that teaching comes from the Greek word for knowledge, so it was called Gnosticism. I want to tell you some of the things that it taught, because when we know that, we'll understand a little bit better some of the things that John talks about. Gnosticism taught that there was knowledge that was even greater than the Scripture, and that man could achieve that knowledge. It taught that that matter was evil, so that would be the physical body was evil, but that the spirit was good. So that sin committed in the physical realm with the body really didn't make any difference. It didn't have any effect at all on the spirit. You can imagine that immorality and indulgence were permissible according to these people, because it just didn't make any difference what you did in the body as long as your spirit was right. Some in this teaching denied that sin existed at all, that it, you know, made no difference at all, because sin wasn't really real. They taught that knowledge was the key to acceptance with God. And again, the greater amount of knowledge that you could achieve, the greater amount of acceptance that you could achieve with God. One group denied the humanity of Jesus. This is it's interesting, the things that people will do to make up, I guess, a teaching or a doctrine. They said that the body of Jesus, when he was on the earth, that the body of Jesus was not real. It only seemed real. And so since it wasn't real, Jesus really did not die on the cross, but he only seemed to die on the cross. Then another group, probably an offshoot of that group, taught that his body was real, but that his spirit did not descend on his body until he was baptized by John. And then his spirit left his body before he was crucified. So once again, he wasn't really crucified on the cross. they had no tolerance for Christianity. That's why they tried to influence the church and deceive the church and deceive Christians. And when they were successful, when a Gnostic was successful in deceiving a Christian, the first thing that they would make them do is leave the fellowship of believers. They wanted them to not associate with any other Christians, because, of course, they knew that the truth might, you know, finally win out. So they didn't want them hearing the truth. So John addresses some of these false teachings in this letter to the churches of Asia Minor, and it's kind of a back to basic type theme. Cheryl will like that. She always, every time I ask her what I ought to preach on, she'll just say, back to the basics. So that's what I'm doing, preaching back to the basics. And it is very, John is very direct. I was talking with, I think it was Sam the other day, and I said, you know, if John was alive today and got up behind the pulpit of most churches and just spoke what he wrote, most people would, you know, they'd label him intolerant and a bigot and all these kinds of things. And most churches probably wouldn't put up with him, because he is very, very direct. We're going to discover that in this very first chapter. So, like all the other authors of the Bible, John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We say John wrote 1 John, and he did physically write it out, but he did so inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. So like all the rest of the Bible, these are the words of God. So let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. All right, that phrase from the beginning is a reference to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And now you remember, part of the Gnostic teaching was he wasn't real. So John says, I heard him, I saw him, I looked upon him, and I touched him. He said, we have heard, we have seen, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled Jesus Christ. So all of those things speak to the reality of Jesus. He was real, his body was real, his spirit was real, everything about him was real. And Jesus was both human and divine. He was the Son of God, the God-man, however you want to say it. And then he mentions in verse 1, he mentions the word of life, and word is capitalized, I'm sure, in your Bible. So that refers to Jesus Christ and his message, the gospel message. And you know, when in the gospel of John, it begins with, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was made flesh. And that word is capitalized because he's referring to Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, he sort of repeats the things of verse 1. So he's saying, listen, regardless of what all these false teachers are telling you, I saw Jesus. I touched Jesus. He was real. And I'm telling you that he was real. And then he says, he didn't use these words, but he said, I saw Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead. I watched him die. I saw him after he was resurrected from the dead. I saw him ascend into heaven. So he was real when he was here, and he's real now, and he's eternal and in the heavens now. I've always thought it curious. It's curious sometimes the things that God does. And I've always thought it was curious that only one of the original 12 was not martyred for the faith. I don't know how old some of the other guys lived to be, but John seems like he certainly lived the longest and died a natural death. And I've always wondered why. And sometimes I thought, you know, I wonder if John ever felt bad about that. You know, the other 11, or 12 if you count Matthias, considered it an honor to be martyred for the faith. And so I've wondered if John felt sort of dishonored. That's probably not the word, but I wondered if he, you know, why didn't you let me be? Why didn't you let me give my life for the faith? Well, maybe God let John survive, so knowing that this teaching of Gnosticism was going to come up, so that there could be one man who said, but I saw him, I touched him, I was with him to dispute this false teaching that came from Gnosticism. All right, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What John saw and heard from Jesus, he shares with these Christians in Asia Minor, and now he shares with us so that they and us could become a part of the family of God or remain a part of the family of God, however you want to look at it. He mentions fellowship a couple of times. The word fellowship in verse 3 is not referring to socializing or gathering together, but it's referring probably to possessing eternal life or possessing salvation. That fellowship is with or by the Father and with or by his Son, Jesus Christ, that salvation is. Verse 4, he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's that. We talked a little bit about that this morning. And there it is again. Acceptance of Jesus Christ and obedience to his word always brings joy. Now, please remember, John was not martyred for the faith, but his life was not easy. He's old. He's honored by the church. He's dishonored by everybody else. His teachings are disputed by everybody, and in some cases, even by people in the church. He's hassled by the Roman government. I say that because the Roman government is going to imprison him sometime after he writes this letter. So for him to say, your joy can be full, means that there's, regardless of our circumstances as Christians, regardless of John's circumstance as a Christian, he experienced the joy of knowing Jesus, and so we can experience that same thing. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The first part of verse 5, he says, this is the message which we have heard of him, which we've heard of Jesus. Now, one of the other criticisms of Christianity was that this, a bunch of guys, maybe the 12 apostles, got together and made all this up. And so in several times in some of the New Testament writings and letters, they'll say, Paul said, you know, I didn't get this from men. I received this from God. John says here, I didn't make this up. I didn't get this from men. This is the teaching of God. And then he says, God is light. Light in Scripture almost always refers to biblical truth or holiness or purity. And then he says, in him, in God, is no darkness at all. Darkness almost always in Scripture refers to wrongdoing or sin or false teaching, however you might want to say it. So he says, God is truth, God is pure, God is holy, and in him there is no sin whatsoever. Okay, now here's where John already starts to not pull his punches. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. To say that you have fellowship with him, with God, is to say that you're a Christian. Many of the Gnostic, maybe all of the Gnostic teachers, claimed that they had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they would go, if they could get into a church, and if they couldn't get into a church, they would tell Christians outside of the church, listen, not only do I have a personal relationship with Jesus, but I have a better relationship than you do, because I know more, because I'm enlightened, I'm closer to God than you. And so John says, listen, those people who say that we have fellowship, that they have fellowship with God, those people who claim to be Christians and walk in darkness, that means to live in sin, they're liars. They lie. We lie and do not the truth. The lifestyle of the Gnostic teachers, the lifestyle of all the false teachers, was contrary to Scripture. And their lifestyle proved that they were not Christians, although they were claiming to be Christians. Now, John is very direct to them. Listen, the Gnostics read this letter, or they certainly heard about this letter. And so when they read verse 6, of course it wasn't a verse then, but when they read that part of the letter in verse 6, they thought, boy, he's talking exactly about us. He just called me a liar, which he did. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So Christians walk in the light. Christians walk in purity and holiness. I know Christians aren't perfect, but when we sin, we confess our sin and our sin is forgiven. Christians have fellowship with other Christians. We have fellowship one with another. As a matter of fact, fellowship among believers is essential to our salvation, I think. We need the love and the support of other brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can share our burdens and share our problems and share our joys and our blessings. So that fellowship is important. That's one of the reasons why church attendance is important. And then he says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. When we confess our sin, we're going to get to verse 9 in just a minute. When we confess our sins are forgiven. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he softened the blow just a little bit. Did you notice that? He could have said, if we say that we have no sin, we're liars. But he softened it. The Holy Spirit softened it just a little bit. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, remember, the Gnostics, some at least of the Gnostics, denied that sin existed at all. Others of them denied that it made any difference. If you sinned in the physical realm with the physical body, it didn't make any difference at all. Don't worry about it. Well, here John says, listen, if we deny that sin exists, we're deceiving ourselves, because sin does exist. The Bible teaches that sin exists and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're familiar with that verse. I've used it a lot. And where there is confession of sin, there is always forgiveness and cleansing from that sin. And then in verse 10, He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His word is not in us. That's a pretty serious verse. I never really thought about it that way. But what John, what the Holy Spirit through John says is to deny that mankind is sinful or has sinned, or even to deny that we personally have sinned, is to go against all of the teaching of the Scripture. Because all throughout the Bible it tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The whole point of the Old Testament sacrificial system was that man had sinned and there needed to be a sacrifice because of the sin. The whole point of Jesus dying on the cross was that man had sinned and only the blood of Jesus could cleanse us from our sin. So to say that we haven't sinned is to deny everything that God teaches, everything that Jesus teaches, and it is essentially calling God a liar. And His word, the truth of His word, is not in those who deny that sin existed. So, all these Gnostic teachers, however enlightened they might claim to be, were either deceived themselves or were deceiving others by telling outright lies. I've always found it interesting, several years ago, and I don't remember what the circumstances were, but several years ago, some government leader or somebody was talking about how enlightened the European countries were. And he was in reference to some of their liberal ideas and liberal views. And I thought, here we are 2,000 years before that, and here are these false teachers claiming that they're enlightened, because they have such great knowledge and greater knowledge even than Scripture. There's really nothing new. The false teachings of today are the false teachings of yesterday. They've just been repackaged and presented in a different manner. But the teachings are always the same. The Bible is wrong. God is wrong, or God doesn't exist. And the answer to them is always the same. You'll know the truth, which is the Word of God, and the truth shall set you free. Thank you for coming tonight. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Shara, would you dismiss us, please?